Hello, everybody. This is Buck with the RubberChickensBlog.com, and welcome to Buckshots. Today, we are going to take a look at the 1995 Gamecock football season. If you remember where we left off in 94, the Gamecocks had just won their first bowl game in program history. A victory over West Virginia in the Carquest Bowl down in Miami. It was also Brad Scott's first season at the helm for South Carolina, and there was good bit of excitement heading into 95. Steve Tannehill was returning. Brad Scott was returning. Had a good bit of talent on this team. Stanley Pritchett at running back. Deuce Staley was a transfer who came in, was also going to be playing running back. It looked like the prospects were pretty good, especially when we opened up the season at Georgia in Athens. I was at one of those fall weddings. One of my best friends was getting married in Pensacola, Florida. And how I could be best friends with somebody who cared so little about football that he had his wedding on the day of the South Carolina-Georgia game. Anyway, that's beside the point. But it was a frustrating day for me because I had to listen to a little bit on the radio, caught a little bit on TV. As for the game itself, Carolina took a 14-7 lead into halftime on a pass from Steve Tannehill to Zola Davis on the last play of the half. And I just remember Davis catching that ball and kind of bouncing up and down on 2 feet. And we're up 14-7. And I'm thinking, man, we have got this program rolling. We're going into Athens. We're going to walk out of here with a win after a bowl victory. A lot of momentum on our side. And Georgia just blew us away in the second half, behind a running back named Robert Edwards. Robert Edwards scored 5 touchdowns in this game. I believe they were all in the second half. We were actually up 17-7 at one point, wound up losing the game 42-23. Edwards was a converted defensive back. He had played cornerback his entire sophomore season at Georgia. Converted running back, scores 5 touchdowns, rushed for 169 yards in that game, just shredded us. And he was the first of 3 running backs we would make famous during the 1995 season. Side note on Robert Edwards, he went on to have a pretty decent career at Georgia, was drafted in the first round by the New England Patriots, rushed for over 1,000 yards in his freshman year. And you may or may not know this story, but he injured his knee, severe knee injury, playing in a rookie flag football game during Pro Bowl week in Hawaii, and it was on a sand field they were playing. You know, you see these goofy games that they play, flag game. And I remember somebody this past year when Marcus Lattimore injured his knee, they compared it, one of the people they compared it to was Robert Edwards. You didn't hear that comparison quite as much. Edwards actually tore all 4 ligaments in his knee and had nerve damage. So he had a very similar injury to Marcus, except it was worse. And it makes you realize just how lucky Marcus was in that Edwards very nearly had his lower leg amputated. Fortunately, that didn't happen. He did come back and play some football, but he was never anywhere near the same after that just freak knee injury. So we lose by 19 at Georgia, a very disappointing loss after the way we started that game and held a 10-point lead at one time. Go to Fayetteville, Arkansas the next week, and we made another running back famous, a guy named Madre Hill at Arkansas. You may remember that name. He was actually the running backs coach for Steve Spurrier in 2005 and was only with the Gamecocks for one season. But in 1995, he shredded South Carolina for 178 yards and 6 touchdowns in a 51-21 victory over South Carolina. And so we've got a 19-point loss and a 30-point loss. That'll certainly throw cold water after a season in which you won your first ever bowl game. And needless to say, we were a little worried about the defense at this point. Game 3, we come home, finally get our home opener, beat Louisiana Tech 68-21. Steve Tannehill throws for 389 yards and 5 touchdowns. To this point, Zola Davis was having a pretty good season. He had 7 catches for 85 yards. He would wind up catching close to 1,000 yards in passes that season. He was actually, at least by one publication, ranked the number one wide receiver in the country coming out of high school, redshirted his freshman year. So this was his redshirt freshman season. So we beat Louisiana Tech 68-21. Kentucky comes into town, and the third running back that we would make famous in the first 4 weeks of the season was Mo Williams. Kentucky beat South Carolina 35-30. It was the Jefferson Pilot TV game of the week. Mr. Mo Williams rushed for 299 yards and had 429 yards of total offense in the game. Let me say that again. 299 rushing, 429 total. At the time, the 429 was an SEC record. I don't know. I didn't look that up to see if it still is. I don't know of anyone who has had more all-purpose yardage in a game. But if they did, they had a heck of a football game. So the following week, we held LSU to 20 points. But the problem is we only scored 20 as well in a tie. The only thing I remember being at that game, the only thing I remember was we ran a really cool trick play. And that was another game that we looked like we were going to win. We were up 17-10 at one point, and LSU came back to tie it late. But we ran a really cool trick play where Tannehill threw the ball out wide. Somebody runs over to the wide receiver and throws it back to him, and then he threw to Tannehill on the other side. It wasn't a touchdown, but it was a cool-looking play that probably doesn't translate over this medium, but trust me. And the following week, we beat Kent 77-14, the most points South Carolina has scored in the modern era. You know, pretty easy game. And once again, Tannehill 263 and 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. The previous week against LSU, 243, a touchdown and no interceptions. And he was just having a great year. But probably the best game of his career would come the following week in Starkville, Mississippi. In a Gamecock victory, we scored 65 points after scoring 77 against Kent, 65 against Mississippi State. Tannehill threw for 473 yards, 3 touchdowns, and no interceptions. So Steve Tannehill was starting to put up some numbers that moved him up the Gamecock record book. And the following week, Vanderbilt comes to town, and we finally beat Vanderbilt in the way that we should beat Vanderbilt, 52-14, or at least in the way we feel like we should beat Vanderbilt. Tannehill, once again, 354 yards, 5 touchdowns. And at this point, while our record is not that great, I think we're 4-3-1 at that point. I do remember Steve Tannehill's name being mentioned ever so briefly in the Heisman conversation. I remember it was an ESPN, maybe a game day, back when game day was much different than it is today. They named their top five Heisman candidates, and I remember him coming in at the top five. It was either number four or number five. But really the last time before Jadeveon Clowney now and well, Marcus Lattimore, I guess, had been mentioned in Heisman conversations earlier in the season, but the latest in the season you'd heard a Gamecock mentioned in the Heisman conversation since George Rogers. So now at 4-3-1, we run into the quote orange crush unquote part of our schedule that this is one of those seasons that made this stretch of games, gave it a reputation, I guess, because it was pretty ugly. We go to Knoxville, got beat 56-21. The fun thing about that day was that's the G-Man and I and our wives and another friend of ours and his wife made the trip up to Knoxville to see this game. And early in the first quarter, things looked kind of hopeful. We were feeling pretty good. Tennessee had scored, but we drove down. I think we had a very short field goal blocked that they ran back a long way the other way. And things just kind of spiraled out of control there. So at the half, they're up 35-7. So we'd gone up to Knoxville, made this trip, had a hotel room, all, you know, centered around this game, and it's 35-7. I didn't have a cell phone with me. It was in the early days of cell phones, and G-Man didn't have a cell phone with him, and we were sitting in separate parts of the stadium. This was also the day of Game 6 of the 95 World Series. G-Man and I, both being huge Braves fans, we really didn't want to miss Game 6 because Game 6 was a game in which the Braves could clinch and win the World Series over the Cleveland Indians. So I looked at my wife and I said, let's get out of here, shortly after halftime. And she said, well, you know, G-Man's got the keys and he's driving. What are we gonna do if he's not there? And I said, well, we'll just wait. So we left, early in the third quarter. And we get to the car, we're walking up to the car, and G-Man and his wife are walking up to the car almost at the exact same time. It was just like telepathy or something like that. So we hop in the car, we drive to Spartanburg, where we went to his in-law's house, walked in the door, plopped down in our chairs, and within 30 seconds, the first pitch of Game 6 of the 95 World Series was thrown, and of course, the Braves won. So that made it while the South Carolina game was ugly, the Braves winning the World Series was certainly very nice to finish that day off. The following week, Florida comes to town, and this is in the Florida fun and gun heyday. Danny Werfel is the quarterback for the Gators. Thursday of that week, remember this vividly, Thursday of that week, the forecast for Columbia, and this was going to be an ESPN game, was sleet and freezing rain and temperatures in the high 20s, I believe it was. And this was early November. And I'm thinking to myself, our defense has given up 56 points. They've given up 42, 51, 35. And as high-powered as Florida was, I just didn't know if I wanted to go sit in freezing weather. Call me a fair... If I've ever been a fair weather, literally fair weather fan in my life, this was that time. So I called up the local sports radio. It may have been Kornblut show, as a matter of fact. I called up, said, hey, I got two tickets. These were my season tickets, willing to sell, face value. Within 30 minutes, I get a call. I met a guy, gave him the tickets. He gave me the money. I said, good luck, buddy. And anybody that was there knows that was one of the most miserable nights in South Carolina history. Florida got off to a fast start. They're up 42-7 at the half and wind up winning the game 63-7. And Danny Werfel just had a huge night that night. And then we finished the season off against Clemson. And good game, a really good game until the fourth quarter. It's another game that I did attend. It was a beautiful day. I remember it being a beautiful day. Score was 17-17 heading into the fourth quarter, and Clemson just completely manhandled us in the fourth quarter, scoring 21 points to win the game 38-17. One thing I remember about that game is Emmett Smith's brother played for Clemson at the time, Emory Smith, and he was a fullback, not a tailback, but a big dude. And they were just rolling over us, just running the ball, gaining 8, 10, 12 yards a pop. And with a couple of minutes left, they hand the ball to Emory Smith, and he breaks about a 50-yard run, and he's just dragging, I think, Ron Neely, maybe it was Lee Wiggins, a couple of guys. I mean, just dragging them, just an embarrassing thing for our defensive backs to have to go through to try to bring this guy down. And they finally did inside the 10-yard line, but I just remember I felt sorry for our guys at that point because I felt like they were just – outmanned. They were playing a team that was bigger and stronger than them, and they were just getting pushed around. And it, you know, there was cause for concern at this point, no doubt. We thought, wow, we got this high-powered offense. It looked really good, but our defense has given up just some unprecedented numbers in yardage and points over the course of the season. So heading into 96, we're going to have to break in a new quarterback, no Tannehill, and we're going to have to find out if this team can play a little defense under Brad Scott. That'll do it for the 1995 season. Thanks for tuning in to Buckshots, and we'll talk to you next time. Staring at a sun that she just can't touch. If betting it's on, he's in a jam, she'll be by his side, but he doesn't realize he hurts us. Just stay.
Mary of then fade away, sell the brains and for the 7 days. And like his promise is true, only my faith can undo the many chances I believe would bring my life to an end. Clear blue and unconditional skies have dried the tears from my eyes, no more lonely cries. My only leading hope is for the folk who can't cope with such an enduring pain that it keeps them in the pouring rain. Who's to blame for two and gain into your own vein? What a shame you're shooting aim for someone else's brain. You claim the insane and aim to stay in time for falling prey to crime. I say the system got you picked into your own mind. Dreams are hopeless aspirations and hopes are coming true. Believe in yourself, the rest is up to me.
Don't go chasing.